Today's program has been brought to you by Le Creuset. Visit Le Creuset for cast iron and stainless cookware, bakeware, pots, pans, and kitchen and bar tools. For more information, visit www.lecreuset.com. That's LECREUSET.com.
You're listening to Heritage Radio Network, broadcasting live from Bushwick, Brooklyn. If you like this program, visit heritageradionetwork.org for thousands more.
Hello, everyone. Welcome to episode 20 of Sharp and Hot. I am your host, Chef Emily Peterson, broadcasting on heritageradionetwork.org from Roberta's Pizza in Bushwick, Brooklyn. I want to say thank you at the top of the show for all the awesome feedback I got on last week's show. I had no idea that a tropical vacation on the radio could be so awesome, and you guys all seem to really like it too. So if you didn't have a chance to listen to it, you can go to either heritageradionetwork.org and click on the Sharp and Hot link, or go to Stitcher or iTunes and listen to episode 19, where I whisk us all away on a tropical vacation. I'm thinking that I might take us all someplace else soon. So if you've got any requests, let me know. I have a lot of Indian music that I love to listen to, and so maybe that's the place where we'll go. It's also warm there. Meanwhile, in the Northeast, we are in line for another snowstorm, bringing another foot or so of snow tomorrow night. Whatever. I'm resigned. I'm over it. There's really nothing I can do about it. So I'm just planning on tucking into the Olympics in my Netflix queue, and next thing I know, it'll be April. Well, right? I don't know. I mean, eventually it'll be April, but not before Valentine's Day, which is on this Friday, a day I have always loved because, mostly because it's a reason to make pink buttercream and things that are pink and sparkly, which is so outside of my personality the other 364 days of the year that the extra girly part of me likes that she gets one day a year to come out and play and be super girly. So in thinking about a Valentine's Day menu, I thought, why don't I get Japan's number one mixer, Sean Dettori, on the line with me, and we can do another Cooking with Sean Dettori Valentine's Day edition live from his apartment in Seattle. Hi, Sean.
Hey, Emily. How you doing?
I'm doing good. How are you?
I'm doing all right. There's a couple of things I'd like to say right off the bat before we get super deep into this awesome episode. Number one, you are a formidable Words with Friends opponent.
I wasn't playing, so I had to make up for it.
yeah, you just got a great 67-point word, so good job.
Fix, right? Also, Fix or Fox, yeah. I think.
What's that?
I think I got an X on the double-letter, triple-word combo. I think that's what happened there. Yeah.
Yeah, it was something stupid like that. And last time I was on your show, I made some stuffed mushrooms, and it wasn't the best recipe choice. It was pretty much just spiced cheese stuffed into some fungus, and so hopefully this time around what I'm making will be a little bit more appetizing.
So what is it that you're going to make for us?
Well, it's because of my Italian heritage, I figured I'd go with an Italian dish, something that is really easy to make. And hopefully your lover or husband or mistress will also love it. It's pasta fazool, something that I grew up with my mom making every so often.
Now, this is the white bean and pasta soup, right?
It is, yeah. So it's really easy to make, but it's really delicious. I made something similar to it a couple of weeks ago. It was escarole and bean soup. But nobody has escarole because nobody knows what escarole is.
I just got artichokes in my supermarket. There's like a little produce cart that they put clearance produce on, which is usually like gnarly apples and things that I don't want. But there were beautiful artichokes. And since no one seems to know what to do with them, I got 5 artichokes for $1.
That's really impressive. I just learned last week or a couple of weeks ago, like boiling artichokes and then just eating the insides off of the skin, right?
That's what we did last night, and it was awesome.
Yeah, that's a great way to eat an artichoke.
Now, let me ask you about the etymology of your pasta fazool. I have always said pasta fagioli, and I get laughed at occasionally in Italian restaurants.
Oh, really?
Because it is pasta fazool, right?
Yeah, that's what my mom always said, pasta fazool, and I always thought, what the hell are you talking about, Mom? And I'm getting this recipe. Now, again, last time, I did not call my mom for the recipe for stuffed mushrooms, and that's why they turned out so awful. I did get the recipe finally from her, and they came out delicious. But this recipe I'm getting from the very authentic Sopranos cookbook.
Oh, excellent. Okay.
And it says pasta fazool in here, also known as pasta fagioli.
Oh, okay. So maybe both are acceptable. If you go to the pizza place by me and you ask for pasta fagioli, they look at you like you are crazy. Or like you're Irish, which I am.
Right. So you're Irish and you're a little crazy, but that's okay.
I am the perfect combination. Okay, so tell me, what's the first step?
So the first step is to heat up some oil, and you're going to cook some garlic in there, and also it just calls for one celery rib chopped. So we're just going to heat that up over a medium heat, and then we're going to add in some tomatoes. I've got canned Italian peeled tomatoes, so I'm going to add those in along with a teaspoon of tomato paste, a half a cup of water, and just a little bit of hot pepper and salt to taste. So I'm heating up my oil right now, and that's pretty much the first step of making your pasta fazool.
And when you say hot pepper, you mean like crushed red pepper flakes?
Yeah, it calls for a small dry peppercini crumbled or a pinch of crushed red pepper, so I'm just doing a pinch of crushed red pepper.
Probably much easier for everyone to find in the grocery store.
Yeah, even though peppercinis are so delicious, I'm sure. Do you like the peppercini?
I love the peppercini. I actually grow a whole variety of hot peppers and then dry them so that I have them in my house all winter. I have depths of love for peppercini.
Yeah, so I did not love them, but over the last year or so, I've fallen in love with them.
And while you are making that, I'm thinking that I've opened the show by complaining about the weather. And everything I know about Seattle, other than TBTL and you and Luke and Jen and my other friend Morgan who lives out there, all I know about Seattle is the weather. How is the weather treating you guys this week?
It actually hasn't been too bad. We got some snow on Saturday around 8 p.m. It started snowing. We got it probably about 3 inches, and then by the next day it was almost gone. And today, it's a little sunny, it's a little overcast, so it actually hasn't been the worst winter, because normally around this time here in Seattle, it's rainy, it's really cloudy for most of the time, but we've been getting some sun breaks and a surprising snow shower, which was kind of awesome. So I know you said at the top you're still being inundated with crap weather, right?
Inundated. We have about... 8 inches of frozen precipitation on the floor, on the ground at my house. Not the floor. It's outside the house, thankfully.
Maybe you should get a roof on your house. I don't know.
The roof is very pitched, and our windows and our front door are now coated in ice because it's so melting as an icicle and then, like, freezing on the windows. So you look out, and you have to look through. It looks like stained glass. It's crazy. And we're going to get another, 8 to 14 inches tomorrow night.
Are you kidding me?
I am not kidding.
Now, you are a chef, as is your name, Chef Emily Peterson of Sharp and Hot on Heritage Radio Network. You see how I know that?
That's very impressive. Thank you.
Yeah, thank you. So you being a chef, I'm sure you're stocked up on food items and everything. So are you set for this blast of ice?
I'm set, and I think part of it is that both my husband and I love nothing more than to go grocery shopping. So any excuse, it could be it's too hot, we have to go grocery shopping. Too cold, got to go grocery shopping. There's really, it's going to rain, it's going to snow, it doesn't matter. The refrigerator, the coffers are almost always full. And so now it's an opportunity to eat through some of what we bought. The problem is that by the time we get around to eating some of it, we're sick of it. And so it forces us to be a little bit creative. My husband made banh mi style meatloaf the other day, which was pretty awesome because we had all of the makings of banh mi. And then we're like, let's make it as a meatloaf. Okay, so I hear pots and pans going. What's going on behind on your side of the phone line?
Yes, indeed. Actually, I'm just banging around some pots and pans. No, I've the oil is heated up, and I've got my garlic and my celery cooking in it. And so once this sort of, once the garlic starts to brown a little bit, I'm going to throw in the tomatoes, the tomato paste, the water, and the pepper. And then it says just to simmer for 10 minutes or until the sauce is slightly thickened, and that'll be our first step. And then after that, I'll be adding in the beans, simmering it again, and then finally adding in the pasta, which it calls for, a spaghetti or ditalini or any other type of pasta broken into 1-inch pieces. So I just had some fettuccine, or I'm sorry, linguine lying around, so I just broke that up.
Perfect. So are you going to be making this for a Valentine's Day date on Friday?
You know what? I'm making it actually for, well, probably not. I'm not necessarily too big into Valentine's Day, and truth be told, maybe TMI, I just got out of a relationship, so I'll probably just be getting off of work at 10 p.m. on Friday and maybe eating some leftover soup if there is any available.
I will tell you, I completely forgotten that it was Valentine's Day. I think people who have just gotten out of relationships and people who have toddlers are the least likely to care that Valentine's Day is happening.
Yeah, it's kind of whatever. So I am making the soup for myself and my swollen heart. But I also, as I'm cooking this food, I do have some Marvin Gaye playing in the background.
Nice.
I don't know if you can. I'll put it up to the speaker for a few seconds. I don't know if you can hear it. You hear that?
Yeah, that is awesome. My Evan, my engineer, is giving you the thumbs up. He's popping.
Well, right on. So my garlic is starting to brown here. I'm going to toss in the tomatoes and the paste and the water. And we're going to... This is actually my first time making pasta lasagna, so I'm kind of excited to see how this all turns out.
So far, it sounds like everything you've put together is going to be delicious. Interestingly,
yes.
There's a new pasta product. Not new. I was turned on to a dish called Fideo, which is F-I-D-E-O, from watching Cook's Country or the Cook's Illustrated show on Channel 13. And it's like shrimp mm-hmm. and tomatoes. And then all of a sudden, 1-inch cut spaghetti in like 1.5 or 1-inch pieces started showing up on the grocery store shelves. And I don't know if that's because it's like in the ether now that more than one person saw that show. And they recommended just like wrapping, if you couldn't find Fideo cut spaghetti, just wrapping your spaghetti up in a clean dish towel and then breaking it over the corner of your counter like you would snap a pencil. And then if you use a dish towel, that way you keep them all together instead of it going everywhere in your kitchen.
Yeah, no, that's great. I have seen, every so often I'll see like the 1-inch bit spaghetti in the store, but it's very infrequent. So that's really a good tip.
But ditalini is one of my favorite shapes, I gotta say.
What is ditalini shaped like?
It's like if you think of the circumference of a drinking straw, and then like a quarter of an inch long. So if you took a drinking straw shaped pasta and cut it in a quarter inch lengths, that's ditalini.
Oh, very cool. There's so many damn pastas out there. That would be an interesting sort of project or thing to do if you're ever bored, like just try to organize all of the shapes and styles of pasta, because, you know, that would be, in my opinion, an impressive thing for some reason.
To see, like, where they all, how they all got their name and where they all come from. I'm curious to know which ones are authentically Italian. If you went to Italy, what they would recognize and what would not be authentic.
Yeah, that's a good question, too, because there's so many variations now. It's like, kind of unbelievable how many pastas there are out there. You could just use one dish, and it almost would be great.
Yep, agreed. So I will say, too, for anyone who is in a relationship and is considering going out to eat, I'm glad that Sean is giving you this recipe, because going out to dinner on Valentine's Day is the worst plan, I think, ever. I don't know that there's a restaurant on earth that I would want to go to if it was for their Valentine's Day pre-fee There was a joke when I was working on the line at a restaurant in New York City called The Green Table, where we used to say that having to work brunch was punishment for chefs who didn't believe in God. So if you didn't have church as an excuse to say, sorry, I can't work the brunch shift, then you had to work brunch, which was brutal. And Valentine's Day dinner is like brunch to the 10th degree. It's like people who don't normally go out to dinner, they save all their money and they want to go out on this one night and their expectations are really high, and all the chef wants to do is turn the tables and make as much money as possible, which you can't blame them for it. That's what they want to do every other night of the year. But I don't recommend it.
No. And you know, and going in now, it's good to have high expectations going into certain things, but like Valentine's Day, I want to say that this is one quote-unquote holiday because it's just invented by the Hallmark Company. I just made it up. Nobody's ever said that joke before.
It's very original, though.
By the Hallmark Company. Yeah, thanks, Chef Emily. But yeah, no, high expectations and Valentine's Day dinner, most likely, unless you've made your reservation 6 months in advance, your expectations will most likely be shot down.
Right, and even if you made your reservation 6 months in advance, you're probably going to be bookmarked by two tables of people who didn't. And, I don't recommend it at all. But
I don't know. Oh, go ahead.
No, you go ahead. You go first.
Oh, I was just going to say, I don't remember if you said this episode yet, but what are you and your husband doing for Valentine's Day?
Oh, probably watching the Olympics with our toddler, who does not care that it's Valentine's Day.
Okay.
Unless he has another plan that I don't know about. But honestly, for holidays, like my birthday, I mean, things, special days that I get to have some say in how the day goes, my birthday, Mother's Day, the occasional Sunday, all I really want is to like take a shower with the door closed. If I can do that, then I feel like my needs have been met.
Wow. And now like, that's
not how it used to be. You know, 5 years ago, I would have said, oh, we're going to do this, and we're going to make this meal, and then this, and I got this fabulous present that I put a lot of thought and time into and consideration, and it's been a secret. Like, 1 year, I got him, like, he has a very large shoe size, and before the era of Zappos, I found size 14 Pumas, and I bought them for him when we were first dating. And I, like, had them hidden under my bed for, like, 6 weeks, and I was so excited to give them to him, and it was very, like, we made a beautiful dinner and it was very romantic. Now I'm like, ugh, I want a glass of wine, go to bed by 9 and have a shower with the door closed.
It's funny how things change, huh?
I'm hoping it's not always going to be that way. But yeah, this year that's all I want.
Well, when I shower, I keep the door slightly ajar just in case, you know, the wood swells and I can't get out of the bathroom from all the moisture. So, you know, someday I'll shower with the door closed as well.
I'd never even considered that. Is that something that, like, lurks in your, like, your fear psyche?
Not really. I just made that up to be funny.
Oh, okay. Because now I'm going to think about that. Although, if I got trapped in the bathroom, that would just mean I'd have extra time by myself, which is something I value more than ever.
Yeah. No, I'm actually going to start worrying about that now. From a stupid, almost joke, now I'm actually scared to go to my bathroom.
Well, if there's a toddler on the other side of the door, you can be rest assured he'll figure out how to kick the door in. And I will say, every year I have gotten a box of really delicious chocolates, and that's something that's sort of a nice gift that my husband gives to me that I truly appreciate. On my way into the radio station today, I stopped around the corner. There's a fancy chocolatier, and I got a cup of hot chocolate, and I put a picture of it up on Instagram. It's so thick, it's almost like drinking warm cake batter.
Wow.
And I've gotten about halfway through it, and I'm totally stuffed, and I don't know that I can enjoy the rest of it. And it's like,
so
it's serious.
Was it pretty delicious, though, for the most part?
It's absolutely delicious, but it's like three, it should have been the size of an espresso cup, and instead mm-hmm. it's the size of a coffee cup. But I think I'm going to just power through it, because as I'm talking about it, I do want another sip. And I have a nice cold cup of water right next to it, so I can cut it with that.
Good.
All right, how's the soup coming along?
The soup is coming along good. It's simmering. It's starting to thicken up a bit. It says to simmer for 10 minutes or till the sauce is thickened up. So it's starting to thicken. So I think I'm just going to go ahead and add the beans and bring it back to a simmer, and then eventually going to add the pasta in. So I'm just going to do that right now. Now, it says it calls for cannellini or Great Northern beans. So my question for you, Chef Emily, is does it really matter what kind of beans you use in something like this? I mean, why the distinction?
Cannellini and Great Northern beans are both white, and I think that's one of the trademarks of the pasta fazool recipe. So you wouldn't want to use kidney beans or black beans because you wouldn't have that sort of classic look on your spoon. And then cannellini beans are slightly smaller than Great Northern beans, but you could use whatever you wanted. I mean, if you were snowed in and it was a polar vortex and you had 18 inches of snow outside and all you had was a can of black beans, it would still taste delicious.
Right, okay.
Those two choices are white, and that, I think, is probably why the cookbook author is recommending that you use them.
Right, and definitely don't use refried beans.
Do not use refried beans. No, you want to use a whole bean, and you want to rinse them before you put them into your soup. Did I wait too long to tell you that?
No, I totally rinse them. And actually, I want to know why. What's the big deal about rinsing or not rinsing?
Can I tell you that after we take a quick break?
Of course.
That is a perfect place. I completely forgot that. I'm enjoying this so much, I completely forgot we have to take a break. So that's a perfect place to start again. Don't let me forget your question.
Okay.
The bars are closing. All the doors are open. All the doors are open wide. So find your friends. So find your friends. Tell them what they want to hear. Tell them what they want to hear. I tell them not to be so. I tell them not to be so goddamn uptight.
You're listening to Throw a Parade by Cookies on heritageradionetwork.org.
Sharp and Hot is brought to you by the generous support of Le Creuset. Respect for tradition and authenticity has been Le Creuset's guiding principle since 1925. Yet, their innovative designs and exceptional quality ensure that they remain relevant today. The company began in 1925 when a casting specialist and an enameling expert opened their foundries at the crossroads of transportation routes for iron, coke, and sand. That same year, the first French oven was produced, laying the foundation for what is now an extensive range of cookware and kitchen utensils. Today, Le Creuset provides the finest quality stainless steel, stoneware, silicon, enamel on steel, textiles, and forged hard anodized aluminum, as well as the colorful line of cast iron cookware. Visit LeCreuset.com and shop the full line of cookware, stoneware, bakeware, kitchen tools, wine accessories, and more. Heritage Radio Network thanks Le Creuset for their generous support. We are back. This is Sharp and Hot. I am your host, Chef Emily Peterson. Cooking with me live from Seattle, Washington, is Sean DeTore. Sean, I want to answer your question, but I have to say I just took a sip of my hot chocolate. And as it's cooling, it's becoming even thicker. Like now it's really like cake batter. I think I'm just going to have to take it home and stick it in the microwave, I think, before that's delicious again.
Yeah, I think next time you should just try some cake batter, do a little A-B comparison.
I think so. I think if I whisked in some eggs, I could have brownies in about 20 minutes. Very, very good brownies, I will say. So your question was why you rinse canned beans. Because they package them in a salt brine. And the brine, like even when you open a can of beans, they're in this sort of viscous, soupy liquid that doesn't look delicious to me. And so when you dump that off and rinse it away, you're removing a large amount of the sodium that the beans have been packaged in order to keep them fresh. And then that way you can sort of control how salty you want your finished dish to be. Whereas if you just dump them straight into the pot, you're going to change the texture because you're going to add the viscousness. And then you also are going to lose the ability to control how salty you want your soup to be.
Oh, well, that's a great thing to know, because there are some recipes that just say dump everything in, and I suppose those are certain recipes where the salt content doesn't really matter so much then?
Yeah, or not a very well-written recipe. And I'm a really big critic of recipe writing, and so it takes a lot for me that recipe would have to be excellent in order for me to overlook someone saying just dump in all of the beans, liquid and all.
Okay, so then for every any and every recipe that calls for canned beans, you should always rinse them.
Always rinse them. Yep, I would say always, always, always. Unless there's some other really compelling reason, which off the top of my head, I cannot think of one that you would not want to rinse them.
Right.
Okay, so also, how much liquid did the recipe, speaking of being a critic of recipe writing, how much liquid did the Sopranos cookbook Pasta Fazool recipe tell you to add? It was water, right? Not chicken stock?
Yeah, it was water, and I don't think it was enough, actually, because I'm finding myself adding some more water now. I've added the beans, and I've also added the pasta, and I'm supposed to cook the pasta until it's al dente, and I've got my stove on medium, in between medium-low and medium, and it's starting to stick a little bit to the bottom. It says to stir often, so but it calls for a half a cup of water, and then I added in canned Italian peeled tomato, so there's a little bit of liquid with that as well. But now I'm adding in a little bit of warm water as I'm stirring this so it doesn't stick to the bottom. So,
and just out of curiosity, it did not specify in the recipe to use dry or fresh pasta, right? It just said 1-inch pieces of spaghetti or ditalini?
That's very true, yes.
Yeah, that's I would have said add more water at the top. Even if you strained off all the liquid from the whole tomatoes, you're probably only going to get about a cup of tomato juice from each can. So if you added two cans,
right,
that's 2 cups plus a half a cup of water. 2.5 cups of water is not really enough water to cook a pound of dried pasta.
It actually says calls for 8 ounces of pasta.
Oh, half a pound. Okay. Yeah. Okay.
Yeah.
But if it's so thinking, I appreciate your instinct to add more water.
Definitely. So that's what I'm doing, because I figure the water will eventually, you know, sort of evaporate or whatever as I'm cooking. So.
Right. And are there any herbs at the end, fresh parsley, anything like that?
You know what? It doesn't call for anything like that, but I think I might just add in some parsley or oregano or basil I'm going to give it a test here once the pasta's sort of getting close to. Actually, I'm just going to give it a test right now since that's what you're supposed to do.
You can eat around the pasta that's not quite soft yet.
Yeah. So let me go ahead and I added some of the pepper and I added some salt to taste. So let me see. Yeah. It's not too bad. It definitely has a kick, but I think I'm going to add in some oregano and some basil just to give it a little bit more of that Italian feel.
Right, yeah. Listen, you know what I want to do before we go to break? I got a call this week from one of my listeners about a comparison between two different types of kitchen appliances, and I want to play that and answer it. Will you help me do that?
If I can help you, I would love to.
Okay, cool.
Hey, Chef. Me and my friend were talking about blenders and food processors, and he was asking me which one was better. I don't really know what to say. So, do you have any advice about which one's better to have in a kitchen, which one's more versatile, or what they should be used for? Thanks. Bye.
So I get asked this question a lot about the purpose of a blender versus a food processor, and the common misconception is that they are interchangeable, when the truth is that each of them does a specific job. If you are going... I can't advise someone just picking one. There's not, if you got a food processor, which is the one that has the plastic canister with the flat blade that spins around the bottom, and that also sounds like a blender. The blender is the upright one that you make smoothies in. And the food processor is the one that you kind of like lock in, and then you have the option to pulse or just send the blade flying. That one, which is at home, I have a Cuisinart, that one handles things that are dry or things that you're going to turn into a paste, like chopping dates. I started making homemade, not Clif Bars, energy bars with dates and chocolate and chia seeds. And that I use the Cuisinart, the food processor, for. The blender, like the upright thing that you make milkshakes in or margaritas, that's for handling liquids. And they're not really interchangeable unless you absolutely had to. I guess I would say go with the food processor. But I can't say that comfortably, because the food processor, there's not enough volume to do the liquid, and you're going to make a big mess in your kitchen if you're not careful. So that's – Sean, do you have any input on those two things?
Well, here's the thing, is I don't own any of those sort of things, I really would love to get a blender and possibly a food processor, because there are certain recipes that I'd like to make, but I just cannot make because I don't have those. I don't have those things in my kitchen. So I think what you said is perfect, because I have no, I really have no background with using those.
Yeah, you got. I mean, you have to. You'd have to have both, I think, in order to feel truly versatile in your in what it is that you can make. But I guess if you were going to get one first, followed by the second, I think I would advise getting a food processor first, and then get a blender when you realize that you need it, which will be shortly thereafter, because it can't do liquids.
Or right, it can't do liquids successfully. And if you just want to do it alphabetically, just get the blender first. I mean, just keep it in.
And then you don't even have to think about it. You're just like, you know what? We're just going to do it alphabetically, and then I don't have to worry about it. It's out of my hands.
Yep. That's what I would say.
All right, Sean, this has been super fun. I hope your soup is delicious. I wish that I could share a bowl of it with you, although soup must be in the ether, because tonight we're having clam chowder for dinner. So I think it's
oh,
a
soup
kind of day.
Yeah. Well, I'll tell you what. I'll put some, when it's done, I'll put some of it in a bowl and send you a picture if you want to use it for anything on your end.
That would be totally awesome, and I would super appreciate it. And I'll try to find a link to the Sopranos cookbook. Let's see if they put that recipe up for free, or I can we'll see what we can do. We'll get people of Pasta Fazool recipe. Let's see. Listeners, if you've got questions that you'd like answered, I can be reached at 862-242-8599. You can tweet me at Chef Emily P. I'm on Instagram at Chef Emily P. There's a lot of pictures of my kid up there. He's ridiculous. Facebook.com/sharpandhot, sharpandhot.com. And I just made myself a brand new website, chefemilypeterson.com. So you can look and see if there's any typos in there. That would be appreciated. Sharp and Hot is brought to you by the generous support of Le Creuset. And as always, we air live on heritageradionetwork.org. Until next week, keep playing with fire and knives.
Thanks for listening to this program on heritageradionetwork.org. You can find all of our archived programs on our website, or as podcasts in the iTunes Store by searching Heritage Radio Network. You can like us on Facebook and follow us on Twitter at @heritage_radio. You can email us questions at any time at info@heritageradionetwork.org. Heritage Radio Network is a nonprofit organization. To donate and become a member, visit our website today. Thanks for listening.